The Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the whole world might believe in you, that you in fact sent me. The same glory you gave me, I give them, so they'll be as unified and together as we are, I in them, and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness, and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and love them in the same way that you've loved me. Father, I want those you gave me to be with me right where I am, so they can see my glory, the splendor you gave me, having loved me long before there was ever a world. Righteous Father, the world has never known you, but I have known you, and these disciples know that you sent me on this mission. I have made your very being known to them, who you are and what you do, and continue to make it known, so that your love for me might be in them is that exactly as I am in them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
So Eric asks me to preach for him, and then he gives me that gospel text. So we're going to make do. But it's springtime here in Missoula and here in Bonner. And it's easy to tell. You can just go outside and you can see the flowers, the blossoms on the trees. You can smell the air, the lovely storm we had last week, and by the fact that these are the only pants that are not packed away in a box of sweaters in the back of my closet. But it's spring here, which means that it's the beginning. Typically, we think of spring as the start of something new. It's a season when the world comes back from the long and bitter winter. Flowers are re-blooming. It's time to replant the gardens. And it's the season of Easter, a time of rebirth, and a time of hope, and a time of new joy. But it's also the end. It's the end of a school year. It's the end of education for many college graduates. It's the end of another track season for me, and for many families up in Canada who are escaping a fire. It's the end of life as they know it. And endings tend to have a very negative connotation, for good reason. Just the word end has some kind of finality to it. It's the end of an era, the closing of a door, the breakup of a relationship. It's not always a good thing to think about. In Revelations, in the reading we have today, we're literally at the end of the Bible. It's the last chapter of the canon that we have come to count on for comfort and guidance. And it's kind of disconcerting to know that we're at the end of that. But thankfully, John doesn't really leave us with an ending. In his last vision, God tells him that I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. God gives us a reminder that beginnings and endings are fluid. They beget one another. Something that starts is going to end, and when something ends, something else can begin. In the Acts reading today, we see Paul near the beginning of his ministry. I think it's four pages earlier that we see him with his conversion experience. He's only four pages into proclaiming Jesus, and he's thrown in prison. That's not good, for one. But it seems like a very sudden ending, potentially, to his ministry. He doesn't know what's coming. He could be executed the next day. He could be left in prison to die. It's not exactly a very welcoming and new life to a ministry when you're stuck in prison. But Paul and Silas don't really dwell on that. Instead, they start to sing. And their singing, I don't think, was based on a knowledge that they were going to get out of this or that there was going to be a happy ending. I think it was based purely on the knowledge of God and what God had meant for them in their lives. In this case, of course, that led to an earthquake that shook a prison and broke the chains of all the prisoners. And it led to the conversion of a jailer and a new life of faith for his family. But I don't think that was the outcome Paul thought about when he started to sing. I don't think he sang for the earthquake. I don't think he sang for his own freedom. I think he sang purely to praise God. Now, last night, I got off work at the running store in Missoula at about 5 o'clock and went to a coffee shop to finish working on this sermon and then start several long hours of studying for finals this week. I sat down and opened up my laptop and nothing. No lights, no sounds, and apparently no hard drive. So, dramatic embellishment aside, for a college student who's 2 days away from having to turn in a kinesiology portfolio, a law paper, and take 2 finals as well as write a sermon, it's pretty much the end of life as I know it. By about 8 o'clock last night, I was about to call Eric and tell him that I was going to bail. I was just sitting there and panicking and watching my grades and my calm demeanor and the next 2 nights of sleep kind of pass away before my eyes. And it felt like the end, and let me tell you, I did not feel like singing. But somewhere last night while I was running from dorm to dorm trying to find a friend of mine who was tech-savvy enough to actually help me, I decided that of all the things to cut out between sleep and studying and writing a sermon, this was probably not the one to do. So I didn't. I spent time in prayer, in reflection, and ended up here with you guys in worship, which has been much better than I think the alternative would have been. I didn't quite get to the singing, but I got to some kind of calm center, which I think is always kind of the goal. But I got to reflect a lot and think about my last year. And in this last year, I've started a lot of things. I started a new degree program at the university. I started my 12th year running track. I started 3 new jobs. And I also ended a lot of things. I ended 2 of those jobs. And a couple friendships, and I ended a relationship. And despite living and working at a campus ministry house and spending all this time around people of faith, my own faith life is lacking more than I'd like to admit. And so I don't always spend the time in prayer or giving thanks to God. I did say a prayer of thanksgiving when I started a couple of my jobs this year, but I didn't exactly start singing when my relationship ended. Odd, I know. But I think we put a lot of negative emphasis on endings. And I don't really think that's what God wants us to always do. I think that God, especially in these texts, is inviting us to remember that he's here in the endings and the beginnings and every moment in between. And that alone should be enough to keep us going. Knowing that God is with us no matter what should be enough to make us want to start singing in the middle of the night. Cultivating that kind of joy in faith and in life, I think, is part of what makes us Christians. And this community that we have together, I think, is all about promoting that. So like Paul and Silas in prison, I think we should be quick to pray and quick to sing and quick to rejoice in the love of God, regardless of what kind of circumstances we're facing. Because we don't really know when something might end. We don't really know what new beginnings are about to come. But we do know that there is a constant love that Jesus has for all of us. And we should strive to continuously proclaim that and share that with one another, no matter what is going on. So Jesus invites us to uphold this joy of life and the joy of living in a community with each other and in this world where the Spirit of God is alive and well. And that's not an easy task, but I do believe this world could do with a little more singing. Amen.